Okay, good. I haven't done that in a while. That was fun. I like to get to play with the band every now and then. It used to be when I was, before I was pastoring, that people, a long time before I even was ministering, before even student preaching, people would see me as a musician and they wouldn't even think about me preaching, but now it's the other way around. I get so seldom I get to play anymore. That's fun. That's fun. I hope you guys get the opportunity. If you're musical, we'd love to have you up here too. Today, obviously, we're honoring the graduates. I've sent out the emails, and today's the day. We're honoring the graduates, and we're happy to have you. If you're a graduate here today, we are so proud of you. We're so excited for you. We're excited for the journey that you're on. It's such an awesome time in your life, an awesome transition. And so we as a church, we're going to be praying for you. We're going to be keeping you in prayer as you're continuing this journey in your life, and there's lots of changes. You know, not real recently, actually, I was preaching on the path, a whole series of messages on the path, and God has a path for your life. If you're a graduate here today, God has a journey that you're on and a path for your life. You have big choices right now, and I encourage you to seek God's wisdom. And God will show you that path. But more than all of that, your character and your lifestyle is more important than what you do. How you live, your character and lifestyle, that's what God cares about more, much, much more than what job you take, what vocation you take, what career you take. God cares about that much more. But if you trust God, I guarantee you, He will give a good future for you. But it will take a lot of daily sacrifices, a lot of daily waking up and doing what needs to be done, even if you don't feel like doing it. But if you keep trusting God, He will take care of you through it all. Next Sabbath, we're going to be honoring our fathers, and so I will be bringing a Father's Day type of message, a message talking about men, specifically to men. And fathers are so important for marriage and for family. So we're going to be talking about that next Sabbath. So hopefully you can be here, and we're going to be honoring you and talking about what it means to be a godly man. Some of the things, boy, I wish you were there on Wednesday. Some of the things that we discussed stir me and challenge me and change me as we're talking about them. And that happened this last Wednesday. And it actually changed the direction of my message today. We talked about on Wednesday, we talked about Christ's return and about God's holiness in our lives and about salvation and how important that is. And so today, I want to bring a little bit of that to you. It's so important. It's so important that you make the decision for Jesus now. Now, today, while you have the chance. We are always trying to do things the easy way. Fast food, Popeyes, we have a new Popeyes now that's opened up, and how easy it is just to go there and drive through the drive-thru and get your food, and it doesn't take too long, and it's even closer now than the other Popeyes was, so if you really want a Popeyes, that's even more convenient. We like that. We like how convenient it is. We like things that are easy for us, the easy way and easy road. There's a cheap country fried chicken. I've been there a couple times. Really good. Right down the road. I mean, if you want to talk about convenient, it is not that far away. It is so easy and so close. But the last time I went there, they took a while getting my chicken, but that's okay. It's still convenient. It's still close. And we like that. We like things that are close and convenient and easy. We have Starbucks. You don't even have to make your own coffee. You can just go through the drive-thru and you have your espresso. You don't have to buy an espresso machine. They can just make it for you. And boy, the convenience of that is so easy. We have Amazon, online purchasing. You don't even have to go to the market anymore. You can just purchase things online and have it shipped directly to you. And it's so easy and so convenient. And this is great. We love this. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus tells us, Jesus doesn't call us to enter the big wide door. Now, this is fun, and it's awesome that there's so many convenient things in life. We were just talking this morning, in fact, about digital showers. How easy and convenient is that? Digital showers, electronic showers. You don't even have to worry about heating up your water to the right temperature. It heats it up for you. So convenient, and we love this. But in Christianity, Jesus doesn't call us to enter the big wide door. He doesn't say, come in through, this huge opening. He talks about this narrow way. He's not talking about adding the letter C onto your already existing title. We're not trying to make Christianity easy. Jesus is not trying to make it convenient. for you or easy for you. It's not this wide door where you can carry all your baggage in with you and you've got boxes and boxes of baggage and you just take them right. No, that's not the door Jesus is talking about. We are to enter through the narrow door. So in Luke chapter 13, Jesus is starting his last phase of his preaching ministry. He's been traveling around Galilee and traveling around all around that area. And he's in Perea at the time, and he's beginning this last phase of his preaching as he's getting ready to travel to Jerusalem. So this is the last part of his preaching ministry, teaching ministry, before he is entering the phase of where he's going to be sacrificing his life on the cross for us. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 23, begins by saying, someone asked Jesus, Lord, will only a few be saved? We ask this so much nowadays, especially if it's a smaller church and we don't see many people joining the church. We ask this so often. Why are there not a lot of people coming? Why are there not a lot of people being saved? What happened to the days when so many were being saved? And we ask this so often. Why are we not seeing a lot of salvation? Why are we not seeing a lot of new members joining the church? And who do we blame? And that's, of course, where we go with a lot of it, right? We start playing the blame game. Do we blame the pastor? So the pastor's not doing his job. Do we blame a particular program? Maybe we don't have the right program in place. Because we don't have that program in place, we're not able to reach the lost as we should, or reach the visitors, or reach whoever. Is it the wrong program? Is it our building itself? Is it the pews? Do we blame the pews? Because, if we just had the right type of carpet, or the right type of chairs, or the right pews, then that would draw people. Is it the outside facility? Is that what we blame? Do we blame that we don't have the right kind of playground set there for young people? Who do we blame? What do we blame? Where do we put the blame? Is it our current society, current culture, Netflix? It's so easy nowadays. Internet, Amazon, Netflix, on and on and on. Do we make it too easy that people don't want to make a commitment? It takes a part of their life and a part of their time to make that commitment, to even show up for church. Is that what we blame? And yes, we could do so much more. We could do so much more. There's so much we could do to engage the lost and engage visitors and engage the community. We could do so much more. I could do so much more. I could reorganize my time and my stuff, what I do during the week, and I could spend so much more time reaching the lost and engaging visitors and on and on and on. But here's what Jesus says in verse 24. Work hard. In other words, try. Put every effort you can into it. Make this absolutely the most significant diligent effort here. Work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. We're not talking about this wide, big, wide opening. We're talking about one way, this narrow way to enter God's kingdom. For many will try, they're going to all try to go through that wide door. They're all going to try to do it their own way, their own thing. Did I live a good life? Did I do this? But in reality, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Everyone, for many will try, but will fail. The question is asked of Jesus. Jesus, how many? How many are going to be saved? See, they asked that question, and the answer was, not many. That was his answer. Well, what kind of answer is that? Not many. And instead, he's pointing to what you can do. You do something. You make this a big deal. You work hard. You strive. You make every effort to make this a big deal in your life. You do something. So today, as we consider Jesus' words and what he's saying here, I want to focus on three things. There are three things that we focus on Jesus' words. Number one, salvation is high priority. It's high priority to Jesus. This is what's important. This is what Jesus cared about. This is what God thought was significant. We can focus on so many things. And we do. We focus on so much in our lives. We have, in our personal lives, we have entertainment. Man, we have entertainment. We love our entertainment. We love to go to our watch bands, and we love to watch TV, and we have so much entertainment. We focus on our jobs. We have our careers, and that is significant and important to us. In our church, we have things that we focus on. Cleaning the church, and making sure the outside is looking good, and make sure the inside is looking good, and make sure, and we have these things that we focus on again and again and again, and these are great. These are good things. Please don't think that I'm blasting these. I'm not. These are great and fantastic. They need to be focused on. But what God cares most about here, and what Jesus points to in this passage, and it should be significant, more significant than all of that, is your soul. Is your salvation. Are you saved? Is your neighbor saved? Is your friend saved? Are you saved? Your salvation is important to God. It is absolutely important. This is one of the most important things that God thinks about here. Your personal decision, and it is a personal decision. It's a choice to choose Jesus, to choose Him as your Lord and Savior, to choose to repent of your sins, to choose to live for Him, to make it is a personal choice. It is your choice. Nobody else is going to make that choice for you. It is your personal choice to make. Are you ready to be baptized? That is your decision. And it's so important. And God thinks it's important. In this passage, Jesus points to it and says, this is important. Your salvation. Work hard to enter the kingdom. It's so important. Friends, when I was young, I couldn't wait to be baptized. I wanted to be baptized. Nothing could hold me back from being baptized. It was so important to me at the time. Nothing would stop me. I mean, if my parents would say no, I would have still gone and got baptized. It was so important in my life. My question is, what's holding you back? If you haven't been baptized, if you have not been washed in the water, if you've not made that commitment to Jesus, what is holding you back from that commitment? What's keeping you from it? It is your choice. But Jesus thinks it's absolutely important here. It's high priority. And if it's important for you, and it should be important for you, it's important for others around you too. We should never neglect sharing Jesus with others that are around us. The salvation of our friends and family is so important. So how do I go about that? How do I share Jesus? Start the conversation. Make the initiative. It'll never happen. If you're waiting for the right opportunity, if you're waiting for the conversation to be started for you, chances are it's not going to happen. Start the conversation. Ask them, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? Is it okay if I we just keep chat about this? And don't let the conversation go. Keep talking about it. Keep opening it up. Bring it up. Pray with them. Any opportunity you get, it should be important. Your friends and your family's salvation should matter. Jesus says in this passage, we're going through that narrow gate and joining the kingdom of God. God's kingdom. God's kingdom comes in two parts. One is entering, and the other is walking. You can point to passages about the narrow gate and point to passages about the narrow path. It comes in two parts, entering and walking. The gate is narrow that Jesus says we are to walk into. There is only one way, and that is through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father is through Him. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus. No other way. Living a good life isn't going to do it for you. Showing up to church, honestly, isn't going to do it for you, but entering through Jesus, a personal faith and commitment to Him. Only one way to walk after that. And that is to walk holy life. To walk the way that God wants you to walk. This is high priority to Jesus. This is high priority to God. God cares about your soul. God cares about your salvation. It is absolutely important to Him. And yet people are constantly putting it off. It's just not the right time. It's not the right day. There's other stuff going on. It's not the right opportunity. People are putting it off. But Jesus says in verse 25, when the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You'll stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us. But he'll reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Here Jesus is giving this example of a homeowner. And the time comes, he locks that door. He has locked you out. And you are banging and pleading, God, let me in. Let me in. And the homeowner is saying, no. It's too late. I don't know you. I don't know where you came from. I don't know what you're up to. It is too late. This warns us, number two, don't wait. Don't wait. Life is not certain. You could die today. This could be your last day that you're alive. Life is not certain. Would you be saved? Would your that you have eternal life, would you know that you're born again? Would you be saved if you were to die today? If this was your very last breath, would you know you have salvation? You can know that answer for certain today, because the Bible tells us it is through Jesus. Your salvation, your eternal life, comes through Him, not by anything that you can merit by doing. Nothing that you can do to earn that, except for putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:15 says this: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here's our way to, our path, our door to salvation. Everyone, not just the select few, but anyone and everyone who calls on the name, calls on Jesus Christ and says, "Lord, I believe in you and I trust in you and put my faith in you," will be saved. You shall be saved. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him," in Jesus, "shall not perish," should not perish, "but have eternal life." Eternal life comes through Jesus. You will not perish, but have eternal life. And of course, he's not talking about physically perishing. We're talking about when Jesus returns, talking that you will be resurrected and have eternal life. And so faith is the key here. Faith is what's critical. Believing and calling on Jesus. Faith comes in two parts. What's in your heart and what comes out of your heart, right? Faith, believing in Jesus, believing that he came and he died, that he rose again, putting your faith and trust in him, and then calling on him, confessing him, living for him, and of course being baptized into him. Are you ready today to make that decision? If you've never made that decision, today is the day. Don't let the opportunity, don't wait. There may not ever be another opportunity. Don't put it off. And people do put it off. They put it off for a whole bunch of reasons. Maybe they don't have the desire right now. "I just don't feel like it right now. I just don't want to do it today. I'm not feeling it today." Maybe they put it off because of time. "Hey, my career is just taking off, and right now I'm too busy, and if I commit to Jesus, then it's just going to take too much of my time. I'm going to have to commit to the church, and the church is going to expect me to be there, and I just don't have the time for it today. There's so much I got going on. I don't have time for Jesus today." Maybe you're afraid of losing friends. If I commit to Jesus, if I say I'm a Christian, I've got those friends who are just going to look at me funny, and they're not going to want to hang out with me anymore. I don't want to lose those friends. That's a deal. Or maybe you think you're already saved. Well, Jesus says in Luke chapter 13, verse 26 to 27, he says that then you will say, "But we ate and drank with you, and taught, and you taught in our streets. You were around us. We saw you." And he will reply, "I tell you, I don't know you or where you come from. Get away from me, all you who do evil." He might be saying, "But I go to Lord's Supper once a year. I listen, you know, I've got Christian parents, and I hear it over and over again. They're talking to me about it all the time. I hear it. I hear your words. They're taught. I've been to church. I've heard it taught. I've been around you, Jesus. I'm a good person. I've lived a good life. I've been decent. I know a couple of, when I was a kid, I had to memorize a couple of verses, and I still know those. Doesn't that get me in? Does that count for something, Jesus?" And Jesus will say, "No, I don't know you. You never had a personal relationship with me. You never put your faith in me. You never accepted me as your Lord and Savior. I don't know you." You must have your own faith commitment in Jesus Christ. Nobody else's faith commitment is going to do it for you. You have to have your own personal faith commitment. And then Jesus and me both know what, you guys know whether it's real or not. I'm not going to make that judgment call for you. But you know whether you've made a real, true commitment to Jesus. You know whether you truly believe in him or not. It's important for others, too. It's important for you. It's important for those that are around you. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't put off sharing Jesus with those that are around you. Don't put off sharing Jesus with your friends and family. Don't wait for the right opportunity to share Jesus with your neighbor. There may never be the right opportunity. Don't wait. Tomorrow might be too too late. I had some friends. I don't know if I call them real true friends, but I had some friends that were in high school. One in particular, his name is Todd Williams. And he lived right down the road from me. My parents, we actually went over to their home and we had a meal with them, with their family from time to time. And so I played with Todd Williams when I was a kid. And he went to school with me. I saw him every day. And then I read, years later, I read that him and his friends had driven off the side of a bridge and had died. You never know. Today could be the day that they need to hear about Jesus. You just never know. Don't wait. Jesus says the master of the door, master of the house will knock the door. The day will come. Jesus will return. Jesus is coming, and we don't know when. We don't know when that day is. The master of the house will lock the door. God will deny you if you wait too long. When I was 18 years old, I had a bench colt. It was a red dog colt. I loved it. A little pedal car. Cheap car. But when I was 18, it was awesome. And I didn't take very good care of it. I wasn't a very good car guy at the time. I know a whole lot more about cars than I did ever when I was 18 years old. And so I didn't take good care of it, and it started to lose power. And I never knew why it was losing power. I didn't understand the whole mechanics of engines and mufflers and any of that. And it started to lose engine power. And one day I'm driving down the freeway, trying to go as fast as I could to get where I was going, and the car's just losing power, losing power, losing power, and I don't know what's going on. Next thing I know, there's this loud explosion in the engine area. And I did my very best to pull off to the side of the road that took the car. What has happened is there was a clog in the airflow in that car, and it had literally blew a hole out of in the engine compartment out of some metal piping that was in there. Blew a hole right out of it because I waited too long to actually take care of my car. You don't want to wait too long to take care of cars. If your engine light's coming on, that's way too late, you know. You need to be taking care of putting maintenance in cars, right? Don't wait too long when it comes to your own faith and your own salvation, your own spiritual life. It might be too late. If you said, I'm going to put it off to tomorrow, if I'm going to put it off to a year from now, it might be too late. The door might be locked. Yet what Jesus says next, what he says next is absolutely scary. If you really read for what it is, it will frighten you. Chapter 15, where we're at here in our text, verse 28 and 29. There will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth, for you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but ye will be thrown out. And the people will come from all over the world, from east and west, north and south, and take their places in the kingdom of God. So there's a nice picture here where the believers are coming together. It's a joyful picture if you are a believer. But for those that don't know Jesus, this is an incredibly scary scene. The first thing I want you to consider today, count the cost. Count the cost. First, we see the guarantee. Jesus will return. He guarantees it. He says, I am coming back. I'm coming. Jesus will return. There's going to come a day that Jesus will return, and the dead in Christ will rise, and there will be a judgment. And then we see the reward. For the believers, there's this guarantee. They're going to be gathered together, and what a blessing. Eternal life with Jesus. But there's the judgment as well. Those that deny Jesus will be cast out. Here, you know, in the book of Revelation, it paints a picture of the lake of fire, of this torture and judgment, suffering, and eventually being destroyed. And we see that a little bit here, where there's the weeping and gnashing of teeth, where they're being cast out. It's the same picture. We're talking about judgment. We're talking about eternal destruction. Count the cost. Count the cost. Jesus says in verse 28, for who among you, of chapter 14, excuse me, chapter 14, verse 28 of the week, for who among you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost to see whether he has resources to complete it? Jesus is asking us here to consider our options. And who among you, if you start building on something, and we have contractors in our congregation, who among you, if you start building on something, you don't don't weigh the materials and the options. You say, is it going to be better to do it this way or better to do it that way? Is it going to be beneficial or cost-effective and so forth and so on? Jesus says, consider your options here. Weigh the cost. Weigh the benefit of each. You only have two options. There is no plan C. We have plan A, Jesus and eternal life. And we have plan B, rejecting Jesus and destruction. There is no plan C. There is no third option here. Friends, where do you want to be? To me, it's a no-brainer. I hope it is for you too. Today is the day to choose option A. Hopefully, you make that decision in your heart. Today is the day I'm going to choose option A. That rhymes, but I'm leaving the uniform. That's awesome. Okay, I can remember that one. Today is the day to choose option A. If you're not ready today, if you're not ready to make that decision that I'm going to choose Jesus, I'm going to live for Him, then you have not counted the cost. You have not considered your options. You have not looked at what the alternative is if you do not choose Jesus. You haven't seen the cost of option B versus the reward of option A. You have not considered this if you're not ready to choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then Luke adds this extra little note in verse 30 of chapter 13. He says this, and note this, some who seem least important now will be greatest then, and some who are greatest now will be least important then. There are those who you idolize now. There are those that seem great now. There are these great musicians and these great TV stars, and there are these folks that you just absolutely love and idolize now, but they may not have Jesus in their heart. I'm not going to judge them, but they may not. There's a possibility that those folks that you're idolizing do not have Jesus in their heart, and without Jesus, their end is what? Destruction. Eternal death. Our worldview needs to be flipped on its head. Who we consider to be important needs to be those that have Jesus in their heart, those that are living for Jesus. That's who we should be considering valuable and important to us. Friends, you are valuable not because you are great. You are valuable not because you are rich. You are valuable not because you have a great career. You are valuable to God because you have Jesus in your heart. That's where your true value comes from. Eternal life does not come from your great career or your great riches. Eternal life comes from Jesus in your heart. We are to enter through that narrow door. Jesus gives us that one way, and that's through Him. But once you enter in through that narrow door, the Christian life is huge. And what a blessing and what a privilege to be a part of that Christian life. So many promises that God gives us in His Word, and so much of a blessing to be a part of that Christian walk. But the way into that walk is narrow. There's no other way. I can't even sugarcoat it for you. The only way is through Jesus Christ. It is the narrow way. And this is what's absolutely important. It's absolutely important to God. Jesus is making a big deal of it here in this text. He's saying, this is what's important. You work hard for your own self. You do it. You make sure that you're saved. And while we're at it, let's make sure those that are around us know the good news about Jesus as well. This is important. If you are a born-again believer here today, you've already accepted Jesus in your heart and into your life, I praise God for that. But the work is not done. There are your family that's around you. There are your friends that are around you. They need to know Jesus. This message is absolutely critical. No more important message than this. To enter into the kingdom of God, and then once you're in the kingdom of God, you walk in that kingdom. It is so important to make the decision now. Don't wait. We never know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next week or next month. There is no greater an opportunity to accept Jesus than today. If you're a born-again believer, don't wait to share Jesus with those that are around you. there's never going to be a perfect opportunity to start the conversation today. Begin that conversation with them the moment you have that opportunity to. And count the cost. If you've never been ready to, it's because you have not counted the cost. You don't know what's going to happen. There is no plan C. You don't know what's going to happen with option B. Because if you knew, you would choose option A today. And you would accept Jesus as the Lord said. Count the cost. Think about it. Think about your salvation. Think about your eternal life. Choose Jesus.